Faith here with your podcast, Welcome Toast. It was novelist Ann Tyler who said, "Ever consider what our pets must think of us? I mean, here we come back from the grocery store with the most amazing haul, chicken, pork, half a cow. They must think we're the greatest hunters on earth." Listen to our show in small bites or enjoy the whole thing. It's great to have you joining the party on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, inviting you to eat, drink, and be merry with us. We have the most amazing Indian food coming your way from a restaurant in Connecticut. It's called India, and Prasad Chirnumala is our guest. It's his restaurant. He is a rock star in Indian cooking, so I'm so excited. And we have all kinds of tips, how to make sauces for grilled steak, and on it goes. I can't wait. We have a wine to tell you about. My treasured food buddies are here, senior contributors Chris Prosperi, Alex Province, Mark Raymond, and as I mentioned, Prasad Chirnumala. Robin Doyen Aiken is our senior producer and joins us on the show. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
All right, here we go. Let's start with this. First, I want to say happy Juneteenth. Now, I know this show is a little bit past that date, but this is the day that when word spread, starting in Texas, that slaves had been freed. So it is a great day of celebration for many African Americans. And so I wanted to, I was thinking, if only I had done this before, but I didn't want to let that pass. So happy Juneteenth, everybody. On to this. Can you beat an ice cream sandwich?
No.
What if you make it homemade? But what if I tell you how to make it in a way, the easy way? And Mark, your son, all your kids,
Klondike bar,
never mind all of us, okay? They're going crazy because this really is, I'm calling it ice cream sandwich. No, it's really a version of the Klondike bar.
Yeah.
And so this is for you. And your kids are going to beg you to make this.
My kid Julia, too.
Really?
She would love that.
You're right, Prasad. So here's what I'm talking about. You take a container of your favorite ice cream. Keep the lid on, you take it off, doesn't matter. And then you take a sharp knife and you cut that container into four slices.
With the ice cream in it?
Right through the container.
The serrated
four slices.
Knife.
Yep. You could use serrated,
yeah,
yep. Sharp knife. And then you peel the edges off of the container.
Like it's made for it.
Now pop it on a sheet and stick it in the freezer so that it refreezes. It's good and solid. Now, while it's refreezing for about 10, 15 minutes or so, you're going to melt chocolate chips. We have the recipe on the website, foodschmooze.org. You melt chocolate chips. Mm-hmm. And then you get a little bowl of crushed nuts. And so, add a little, because you need this for the chocolate to adhere, a little refined coconut oil to the chocolate.
Okay.
You know, stir, stir, stir. Now you're ready to go, right? So you take the ice cream wedges out and you put them right in the chocolate. You coat them on both sides.
Okay.
And then take the crushed nuts and sprinkle them on the top, put them back on the sheet, and put them in the freezer for about 20 minutes. And you have, essentially, an ice cream sandwich Klondike bar.
I love it.
Homemade.
I love it.
And
with your favorite ice cream.
Homemade with your favorite ice cream.
You don't
have
chocolate.
To, you don't have to, your favorite chocolate, exactly.
I
love Valrhona. You could, now, if you're not into chocolate or you're not into nuts, you could do crushed up cherries, diced up cherries. You could do some kind of fruit on the outside.
The bananas.
Coconut. Anything.
The genius is cutting it in the carton. I never would have thought that. It's kind of made for it almost, right?
Yeah.
You know, I picked this up somewhere.
Who gets the small part down at the end?
I picked this up somewhere online. It all happened because of, you know, what Ben and Jerry's did. They started doing exactly what I'm describing.
Yeah.
In these, these one slice packages.
Yeah.
And so of course, out in the blogosphere, people started fooling around. So I thought, I'm going to fool around. How about me fooling around?
Oh, yeah.
So, can I introduce our special guest? Because as all of you know, we have all eaten at this restaurant. Well, I mean, his previous restaurants. I have yet to be to the one I'm going to talk about now. And I, because we have food in the room, I cannot wait to get there. This is Prasad Chirnumala, who has restaurants in New Haven that I adore, Tali 1 and Tali 2, I call them.
Yeah.
One is vegetarian, the other one is not. And he has opened a restaurant in Blueback Square in West Hartford called India. And it is a hit there. Prasad, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Faith. It's always a pleasure being here.
Oh, me too. Me too, me too. So,
love your shows.
And you know we all love you. I mean, seriously.
And I'm going to make that chocolate sandwich.
Are you?
I will.
For the restaurant?
It sounds so good.
Are you making it for the restaurant? No, you're going to make
kids.
It for your kids.
I started at home
for your family. Okay, and for me, because
absolutely,
you're inviting me
absolutely.
Over. Okay, so here's what we have in the studio. Everybody want to grab your dish?
God.
This
yeah.
is something hoping from the restaurant, and it's
heaven.
You know when you go into an Indian restaurant and they have biryani, which is the rice dish with some kind of protein in it, and it might have their sort of standard sauces. And I love them. I've been to a million restaurants like that. I want to say to you, though, that Prasad Chirnumala's restaurant, India, and his ones in New Haven, these aren't the regular Indian restaurants. This is at a different, and I would say, he's never going to say this about himself, a much higher level.
I'll second that.
And this is very regional, very refined, very delicious. But at India in Blueback Square in West Hartford, they're doing, he's got this thing going with these small plates, which is the way so many people want to eat these days.
Yeah.
And so you
taste
don't have
a lot
to,
of stuff.
Oh you
gosh.
Can
take,
yeah.
Yeah,
so,
you can taste so many.
So, Prasad, tell me, what does biryani mean, the word?
Biryani is a meal. I come from a town in India called Hyderabad. It's a town dominated by, you know, equally by Muslims and Hindus and Christians.
Okay.
From the Nawab days, a meal, which was a perfect meal, was something called Hyderabadi biryani. And the meat or the protein, as you said, it's all marinated in several spices, and it's green chili paste and lime juices and,
oh my God.
You know.
Yeah, it's so delicious.
And you get this great basmati rice. And you actually take this rice and the raw protein, put it together. Come on, you've never heard this before. You're going to cook raw meat and rice and cook it at the same time.
Wow.
And when it comes out, it is delicious. I mean, it's
heaven.
A meal
so
packed
all
in one dish.
But
exactly.
why, you know, so food good. Scientists would be going crazy, yes. saying raw meat is touching the rice, and it really can't do that till it's cooked. And yet, how does the rice become purified from the bugs? How does that happen?
Well, first of all, it's marinated for at least 4 hours, so that itself
starts
kind of cures the cooking
it's kind
started.
Of cured, yeah.
And,
yeah.
It's
and then
totally
it cooks
cooked.
All the way through.
It cooks all the way through, so the both are cooked together. I mean, another thing with, you know, with the scientists or anybody else, with even with the health departments, I mean, the type of food, the spices, what we use in Indian cuisine, I don't think I ever heard anybody ever get sick, other than, you know, they can have a little heartburn here and there if they think they had some hot food. They're not
hot.
Used to it. Yeah.
But
know?
It's the oldest method of preserving of those spices,
exactly.
right? I mean, that's
exactly.
how we did it before refrigeration.
Honestly, I just want to make a beeline to the restaurant based
this.
On this dish. You know how there's
I've had
a,
this there.
Yeah.
Do you know how there's a dish?
So delicious.
There's a dish where I call them, I don't mean this because there are plenty of things on the menu at
sure.
places, but I go to them and I have the same thing over and over and over. Not because of the other things, it's just because I love it so much.
You crave it.
Unfortunately, this is going to be one of those dishes.
Yeah.
It's so delicious. I just had some other things you did, and that was just a knockout too, Prasad. So, what's the meat? It looks to me like lamb.
This is a young, it's young goat.
Wow.
And,
so
but
tender,
how did
so
you
delicious.
Marinate it? Because I've had goat and it never tastes quite like
so
this.
Soft.
Well, it's all natural ingredients. We don't use any typical tenderizers, but we use raw papaya, yogurt, green chili, and lime juice.
Raw papaya?
Raw papaya.
So that has enzymes or something that
exactly.
cooks, right?
Kind
yeah.
of, you know, tears the muscle
breaks
off
down the muscle, yeah.
Yeah, makes the meat more tender, more juicy, and tasty.
So the rice cooking with the meat, so the rice is absorbing all the juice from
absolutely.
The meat.
All the flavor. And if you can see the rice itself, one grain doesn't stick to the other one. That's the technique of cooking good rice.
Oh, that's so good.
He does this chicken Manchurian. I'm sorry to interrupt, but oh my God, tell us about it because I can't eat enough of it, and it's I can get like now four and nothing else.
You mean four what?
Four portions
of chicken Manchurian.
Yes.
What? No, but when you say a portion, what do you
it's
mean?
It's an appetizer, right? It's an appetizer. Yeah, one of the small plates.
Well, I mean, I think India being such a vast country with a billion plus people, we have different traditions. The Portuguese came and got us some French cuisine and used our spices into Goa and, you know, great seafood and so on and so on.
Is that right? I never knew that.
Absolutely. They're the ones who actually, you know, came in to take the spices and preserve meats and seafood. And we have like shrimp pickle. I mean, have you ever heard about that? We have pork pickle, pork vindaloo. They've done that. But Chris, what he's saying is totally something from the northern part of India where whether it's Tibetans or Nepal or Chinese, they have come through. They got the Chinese ingredients, the Asian stir fries into the country. Now, Indian cooks and chefs have used Indian ingredients and made it real, real good. That's where the chicken Manchurian, once you have a bite, you definitely need four portions of that. It's absolutely, I mean, for me, it took a little time when I came to America to try Chinese food. It took me a few years to get used to that. It's made more for locals here. But when I came from India, the Chinese food was totally close to Indian food for us. I mean, using of that, the cilantro, the chilies, the real soy sauce, and almost not much sugar at all. I mean, they used a bit of vinegar and things like that, but the food is so tasty. Chinese food is hot in India. When I say hot, I mean not taste-wise hot, but it's really, you go to any five-star hotel, you have good Chinese food in India.
But is food hot all over India, or does it go by region? Like in China, there are regions where the food is super hot because they had little access to refrigeration. They used the peppers to preserve the meats and the fish or whatever it might be. Is that the case in India, or is everybody into hot food?
It's a great question. I mean, Indian food doesn't have to be hot all over the country. Typically, some parts of southern India tend to use a little more of chilies, but the northern part of India uses more of dairy and milk and cream and things like that, where the food is not that spicy at all. But overall, it's just a misconception about Indian food being two things. Do you like Indian food? It's like, no, it's hot. I mean, that's not true at all. I mean, a lot of delicious food of India is not definitely hot at all. Yes, there are a lot of spices used, and you have to know how to use them. And it's just addictive. It's very addictive. Once you like that food, it's very addictive.
Agreed. That's why I'm there so often.
Well, I love it. And as with certain foods and certain cultures for me, I like everything from what you would call the junkiest kind up to the most refined kind. It's all good with me because it has some kind of flavor combination that I really love. And I could go through all of them. I could go through Portuguese and Italian, Chinese. But this, there's something about what people who are cooking at your level do where I can taste the real combination of spices. And I mean kind of the flavors of them, not the heat. And so it's so interesting and delicious.
I
crave it.
When my friends ask me why I keep going there, the one thing you taste when you go there is Prasad's passion and love for cooking in every dish. And that is so special that it makes you just, as soon as you're done eating, it's crazy to think, but you want to go back.
It's like perfection.
Yeah.
It's
and I'm like, I never have leftovers. How do I not have leftovers? I ordered all this food.
So let me, Prasad, what about basmati rice? Would you say this is the king of rice or the queen of rice in India?
It's probably the king and the queen. I mean, is it? That's the best rice. The real basmati rice is also probably still in India. It doesn't even come out of India because the growth is so limited. It's with all the rich people who get the real basmati rice. It's the suburbs, which, you know, typically it's the same soil, so they're still growing good basmati rice. It's close enough. But I think the real basmati rice stays right in India. And the rice what we get here is also very good, but not as...
How do we get it?
You got to smuggle it in. You got to know somebody.
You got to go
and
there.
How do you know what makes it great? What are you looking for?
Wait, I was going to get to the part where I really love him.
Yeah.
We love you, Prasad.
Well, let's go to
India. We love
then.
You.
Do you have a jacket with a really special lining?
For the rice? Rice lined coat? Does that show up on the body scan?
Do they care if you bring rice into the country?
They don't. It's perfectly legal to bring in rice.
Can you go online and get the real thing?
Don't get me wrong. You do have great rice, great basmati rice
in America.
I would
like India. Indian moguls to contact me right
exactly.
now.
Well, you're actually having the moguls biryani right now. So
is that seriously?
Yeah. Oh. But also one more thing I think I want to add to that, besides flavors and what we are talking about, is also the health aspect. Mm. Indian food and the spices have so many benefits to human body. It's very antiquated, old cuisine, old type of cooking. And probably even when I learned how to cook, even watching my mom or colleges or other chefs, I probably wouldn't even never think, why are they adding this? So for example, asafoetida we had this morning, or turmeric or fenugreek. I mean, these are such good antioxidants and anti-inflammatory. I always have this favorite story to tell people. When I got a cut on my finger, my mom would typically immediately pick up a pinch of turmeric, put on my finger where the bleeding stops.
It's like iodine.
Exactly. Takes a piece of cloth and ties it up. Guess what? I mean, it's cured in a day. Yeah, there's never been an antiseptic issue. Yeah. So can you imagine your body is so good inside?
Wow. No? Okay. Yeah. So I have a friend who had cholesterol issues, major cholesterol issues, and didn't do well on the statins. And so had read a lot of Indian blogs about turmeric, and so began having turmeric tea, 4 cups every morning, putting turmeric in the salad dressing in the evening, using as much as was conceivable for the food, and through that has remained with the lowest cholesterol, brought it all down through these methods. I mean, normally every every culture says things about this, and you think, is this true? Is this?
I think it's true. Costco is selling them now. But, but you know, guess what? Cooked turmeric is better than uncooked. Mm-hmm. So come to me.
Really?
So in the pan, you when you sort of heat it up in the pan?
Exactly.
The oil.
Yeah.
And then there are questions about what does it need to be combined with to make it blossom in its way. But, I mean, I'm just...
Put it on a steak.
Put it on a steak. Well, that's what she does. She puts it on her steak.
Oh, really?
And a little hot oil in the pan, cast iron, puts it on her steak. She's amazing.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. We have so much coming your way. We've got a great rosé. Wait till you hear the price on this. Unbelievable. More mouthwatering conversation and fun ahead on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, celebrating the food of India this time. I hope you will make a charitable contribution to Feed the Hungry. We're online now at foodschmooze.org, and we'll be right back.
Cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. Beans. I'll be ready. I'll be ready cornbread tomorrow night.
It's so good, that song. Hey, the podcast, right?
Yeah.
It's a way to do it.
That's the way a lot of us listen this way, even to our own show. Here's the thing. I mean, I know we're actually doing the show, but when you want to hear afterward what's going on, you sign up for the podcast at our site.
Easy.
It means a copy of the show. It's free. And with that, you get the archive of all the podcasts. So if you said, remember they were talking about, and you want to go back, you can do that. Okay, so you just go to foodschmooze.org, and it says sign up for the podcast. I'm with my treasured food buddies, Chris Prosperi, chef and co-owner of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, wine brokers Alex Province and Mark Raymond, and our special guest, Prasad Chernumala, who is chef and owner of the restaurant called India in Blueback Square in West Hartford. He's also chef and owner of Tali Restaurants in New Haven.
And Oaxaca.
And Oaxaca. I forgot.
Don't forget
this
that.
Is the fusion.
Yeah.
Oaxaca people is the fusion of Indian and Mexican food, and it's a knockout. Okay, yeah. But anyway,
sorry.
Back to Blueback Square because I want the dish I just ate.
Okay.
So, Prasad, hang right in there because we're going to go over to something, although I want your comment on this because as you might remember, I want to say what happened. Right now, there's a recipe on our site, and it's called garlic crab at foodschmooze.org. Type in the search garlic crab because here's what happened. A woman named Rashmi Talpade came to us. She's an artist in New Haven. I met her because I was so blown away by her collage art that can show an entire city in one square with her, the way she photographs things and pastes them together. It's amazing work. We get talking, and she starts talking about this recipe that is in her family that you cannot get in restaurants in India even. And Prasad will know what I mean by that.
Yes.
Prasad has said to me in the past, you either eat on the street where the street food's amazing, and we're going to get to that, or you eat with a mother in her home. And so this is what we've got. So Rashmi Talpade lives here as an artist here and shared her family recipe. It's called garlic crab. And was that delicious?
Wow. So good.
So rich.
Wow. Prasad, as a chef who knows Indian cooking as much as you do, what is your thought about that dish?
It just reminded me of home food right away. I mean,
your own home?
Home food, yeah. I mean, I went to college in Pune, close to Bombay, which is Mumbai now. And I'm from southern part of India, Hyderabad. There's another region below Bombay called Konkan region. That's where all the coastal cuisine happens. And I do one dish called the Konkan crab, which is, again, with garlic and butter. And this one is more that zing to that where, it, you know, I would eat at home or my wife or my mom is cooking.
Oh,
you know, it's absolutely delicious. It's a knockout.
It really is a knockout. So I just thank you so much for giving us this. She gave us the little jar of all the spices, one of which she smuggles back from India.
Sure. Yeah, tell us about that Prasad.
Chrissy,
asafoetida.
So that's also in Greek cooking.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. But asafoetida is actually used in some parts of homes in India, not everywhere, not every restaurant, not every chef. But,
how do you describe the...
It's a resin product from a tree, from huge, big trees, and it tastes just like garlic or even better than garlic. And there are certain communities and religions in India where they are, you know, not allowed to eat garlic by their own religion and custom.
Wow.
So this takes place in place of garlic. But not only that, me, as whether you're rich or poor or whatever, a perfect meal can be, especially for poor people. I mean, they can't even afford, you know, good basmati rice, anything like that. You know, not even jasmine rice, I would probably say luxury. Yeah. They would get like this broken rice, whatever, they steam the rice.
Yeah.
And then they take this like cup of lentils. Cup of lentils is probably a dime. You're going to buy that. All you add is a little bit of salt, boil that up, and then you temper. So the hing, the asafoetida, really releases its aroma when you temper.
Asafoetida.
It releases its aroma when on heat. So you take this little pan, a drop of oil, a drop of asafoetida, turmeric, and put that back in the dal once it's boiled.
It's the that what rice, is it about that aroma?
Oh, my God.
But that rice and dal, once you have it, you're in heaven. You're in heaven.
Simple.
How many things have we gotten from communities that are underserved, under-resourced, we'll say, you know, poor communities, you know, the haves, the have-nots, because they're making do, and yet they want it to be as delicious as they can make it, and we end up having something so amazing.
Absolutely.
What you just described.
Absolutely.
I'm holding the jar of Rashmi's asafoetida, and I'm going to spell it for you in a second, but the smell of this is so dazzling.
Absolutely.
And deep.
And there are there are cultures where there's a famous chef in France who, you know, he will go out into the forest and he'll try pine needles. He'll taste them and he'll say, I can make something from this. This is an amazing. So this is a resin from a tree.
This is how
we get food.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mushrooms are what? You know, it's just fungus.
Yes.
It's almost like Old Bay or something. It's so rich and deep.
Only better.
Better.
You know? So asafoetida is spelled A-S-A as in asa. Foetida is F-O-E. There's the sneaky letter. T-I-D-A, yep. Asafoetida.
Absolutely.
And let me pass that on to you and Mark Brissette to smell
it's also
the freshness. If
any of the listeners are going to your store and probably has asafoetida, the chance that you're not going to get that in Indian stores, so ask for Hing, H-I-N-G.
Oh, so it has a different name.
It's a local name.
Hing, H-I-N-G. We should put that on the website.
In an Indian store. Cosmos.
Cosmos is Middle Eastern. And they have a lot of Indian ingredients.
And you can get it online, too. You look under asafoetida or Hing. H-I-N-G.
It smells good, right?
So our site, though, foodschmooze.org, instructions on how to make this, exactly, her family recipe. This is an incredible honor for us to have this. So,
and Chris made it. Chris, you did a great job on that.
I followed her. Followed her instructions.
And you'll see photographs of the dish as Rashmi makes it.
Yeah.
And Chris just made it for us. Yeah. Following her recipe
exactly. I followed it
to the T, and we did the same thing. I'd like to know where she's getting her crab, though. These are the biggest crab I've ever seen.
This
is like Russian.
I used Dungeness.
Yours was really good.
India has a lot of crab.
Just go in the search box at foodschmooze.org and put in garlic crab. And you will see her recipe, and I hope you will see her art show as well, because her art is unbelievable. It's in New Haven. Okay, Mark Raymond, can we get to your wine before you start talking about street food in India being a killer and how you can actually get it at the restaurant India at Blueback Square?
I'm going tonight.
So I know I want to. This Rioja is delicious. It makes me want to order a case in a minute. This is that line of wines that you have discovered, Baron Delay, B-A-R-O-N, as in Baron, D-E, and then L-E-Y. It's on the site. We have a picture of the label, what to say at your wine store. Call ahead, because they can't stock everything. They'll have it for you, a good wine store, within 24 hours. This is made in Rioja Spain. What's the price on this? I don't even know.
The price on this would be $11.
$11.
Yeah.
I love the color.
It's just
you said to me, this is so affordable.
It's so affordable. It's a delicious rosé.
Everyone can get their own bottle.
Yeah. It's got wonderful notes of like strawberry and cranberry. Just so delicious. I love it.
So this is made in the Rioja region. Alex and Mark, how big a region is that? I've never understood. I've never been to Spain. I'm dying to go. How big is this region?
It's beautiful. It's in the north of Spain. So if you're in Madrid and you drive 4 hours north, you'll hit a mountain range, the Cantabric mountain range. And then they're just on the southern side of that. And their vines go right up to this cliff that pops straight up out of the ground. And it shields that region from all the rain that would normally hit Galicia and Ireland. Of all the regions I've been to, Rioja is the most picturesque region in the world.
Yeah, and it's
gorgeous.
Probably the most well-known and largest growing region, I believe, in all of Spain.
Let's come back to how this wine is made, because we care about that. We know that 300, is it 300 additives?
Or more.
Or more.
Was it 1,000?
I want to say 1,000.
Crazy number of additives can be, as the word suggests, added to wine.
And they don't have to
and
label it,
they're
right?
not so great. And they're not labeled sugar. They're pumping in sugar and chemicals that would make your hair stand on end.
If you flip over the bottle, it'll have that seal, the Rioja seal, the DOC. And they regulate every single aspect of the production, from how many grapes can be grown, how close together, which varietals, whether it can be irrigated, if they can use fertilizers. When
additives,
they harvest, it's
they...
all this is all wholesomely made, beautiful stuff. They'll weigh all the grapes going into the vineyard.
For $11.
They'll weigh all the seeds and skins coming out of the vineyard. A winemaker in Rioja told me they go around each single vine, and a vine makes about a bottle, 12 times, pruning throughout the year. One person will service. It's almost like a rose bush. They take so much work. And it's all done by hand.
So, Mark.
Yes.
Wow.
The grape in here is 100% Grenache. It's very little skin contact when they first press the grapes. So you get this wonderful, deep texture to the wine, but yet crisp and vibrant, bright fruit.
So when we say pink wine, we don't mean sweet wine.
Mm-mm.
Or semi-sweet wine. We don't mean anything like that. This is dry wine.
No sugar.
So delicious. No sugar added, yet luscious. This is luscious And it's $11. I mean, really, if you're going to get, for summer drinking, as more and more people are getting into these rosés, the, you know, the pink wine, yeah, this is a great one. I would say Food Schmooze stamp of approval, not only for how it tastes and price, but because of how it's made. This is 2016 Rioja.
Just to even prove it, by law, they're not allowed to have more than residual sugar, 4 grams of sugar per liter. So, and they're probably around 2. A lot of commercial wines have 10 grams of sugar per liter on the market. So there is zero sugar.
And here's exactly the thing with this wine. I had just had a bite of Prasad Chirnumala's dish from his restaurant, India. Many people don't think of having rosé with red meat, in this case, goat. And I do. I will drink rosé straight through a meal.
Oh, yeah.
And all of us. I think that's true for all of us. Or just sipping on the porch. It was delicious.
I'm getting a kiss.
It cools you down.
It
right?
does. It's and so got, refreshing. Yeah.
And I got a nice pool to sit on.
Definitely great poolside.
But Prasad, Chris was saying you're one of the first people to really do French wines and Spanish wines with your cuisine.
Yes.
Doing Indian food with European classic wines.
Absolutely. I started that back in the late 90s, I believe. And we were probably one of the first ones in Fairfield County to really educate not only food, but also good wine. And, you know, so many good Rieslings go so well with this.
Prasad, I remember in Fairfield County coming to your restaurant back then.
Yes.
All those years ago, I said to you, tell me the one thing you think I should drink. And you said, a pomegranate, was it a martini? A pomegranate,
margarita, probably.
Margarita, pomegranate, margarita.
In a big glass like
it. That was.
Like a swimming pool sized glass.
Killer.
Okay.
Killer with
Forget
the Indian.
Forget the wine, give me that.
You're not doing
it's
that.
It's a hot day. Yeah.
Okay, let me do a couple things because I want to ask Prasad. We're so lucky to have him here to come into the studio.
It's my lucky day.
Oh, right back at you. So can I just tell you this one thing? We do food, wine, and cocktails, and we do the wine and cocktails because so many people request that of us, and it's also our interest. But for those who are watching calories or those who don't drink alcohol or do but don't want to on any given occasion, I absolutely love this tip from Cook's Illustrated a long time ago, and they said, here's how to infuse your water. You know when you're preparing your strawberries, you rinse them and then you cut the tops off and we throw them away.
Sure,
or people
compost.
Put them in compost. Yeah. They said, put them in a container of water.
Really?
And let them sit there even just for an hour. And it will infuse the water with this kind of strawberry floral quality. Wow. No calories.
Yeah.
Delicious water. Isn't that the
best? This time of year, I have tons of strawberries in the restaurant. I'm totally going to do that.
Absolutely.
I put a bucket of that in the compost every day.
So what do I think to myself? We really could do this with any fruit of the season. Yeah. Watermelon or blueberries or strawberries or cherries or anything. You could do it with vegetables, you know, with cucumbers and basil, but this in particular was really interesting
and
to
very
me.
Timely with the strawberries.
Sure. And you're not wasting the tops.
Yeah.
Hey, are any of you grilling avocados?
Yes, I make grilled avocado guacamole.
Smoky.
Yeah, it gets that smoky, right? And then just make it like you would any. You don't have to change your guacamole recipe. Just take the two halves, put them on the grill first, and then make your guacamole.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I got to tell you fast because Food Network magazine did a thing about different stuff to do with avocados, even though they're expensive right now. Cut it in half, brush each avocado half with a little olive oil mixed with tahini and lemon. Tahini paste and lemon, and then they grilled them. And I thought, doesn't that sound good? Okay. So we have Prasad here. He's going to stay with us, Chef Prasad. And we're going to talk about what happens when you walk down the street. So many cultures have given us their street food, and it is to die for. We may not know that when we eat it, but really, that's where it started. And it's among the most delicious food going. And when you're in the country, it costs almost nothing. So we want to talk to them about that. And don't forget chicken watermelon tacos. Isn't that a good idea?
Oh, yeah.
Chicken and watermelon tacos. Wow. We love the local. Please support your local food growers and food makers. We're online right now at foodschmooze.org. We'll be right back. This is the Food Schmooze Party, offering the richness of life, and coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including Westchester County, the East End of Long Island, the Hamptons, of course. The senior producer is Robin Doyon Aiken, and to hear this show on WNPR, it airs Thursdays at 3 and Saturdays at noon. People plan their shopping, lunches around what we're talking about, so they set out of the driveway as we're playing the show, and then they go and head toward wherever.
In this case,
Blueback Square in West Hartford, the restaurant India, which is right there, and the chef and owner, Prasad Chirnumala, is with us on the show. He also has restaurants in New Haven, the Tali restaurants. And
New Canaan and Richfield.
Yeah, see. You know.
And Oaxaca. And Oaxaca. And New Haven.
And don't forget Oaxaca.
Can I just say, he's going to kill me for saying this, but I happen to know that there are some of the richest people in the world in India, the moguls, I call them, sometimes will fly in here to eat this man's food. And so, you know, there you go.
We certainly had one.
I know. Okay. Can I just say, I mentioned chicken watermelon tacos because all you do is put in the stuff that you like inside your taco, you know, grilled chicken that you've cut up. And some people will put cabbage, you know, I don't know, Mark,
lettuce,
what you do at
tomato,
your house. You
guacamole.
Know, the chopped tomato, cilantro, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And you throw jalapeno, a little bit of jalapeno for me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's usually a little cheese in mine.
Sure.
But watermelon and cheese is actually quite good together.
Yes.
Mexican
feta.
Cheese, feta. You just,
salt.
Avocado.
Yeah, yeah.
You just chop up some watermelon and in these cubes and you throw it into your taco. And
that's a great idea.
Man.
I like
with
that.
Some feta cheese or some of that, right?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Or shrimp and watermelon.
I've done some fruits in the past, but this sounds
like
good.
Yeah. Refreshing.
You are so sweet. Yeah. Okay. Hey, you want to find out about street food?
Please.
Yeah, let's talk about street food.
Okay, first.
Because I'm still thinking about the one he made.
Mark
us.
Raymond, you know Argentina really well.
Argentina.
Is there a street food there that...
Yeah. What? Choripan. A sausage in a bun with chimichurri.
Ah.
Choripan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there a street food in France or
no,
Austria,
No, but I go to
Chris?
Mexico, and they do what I absolutely love, and they do tajin, which is that spice that's dehydrated lime, chili, and salt.
It's on my refrigerator door.
And I always bring back some, but you can get it here now.
Yeah.
And they put that on fruit, and then they serve it on sticks.
Yeah.
And you get either watermelon or fresh oranges, and they dipped in that, and on a hot day.
Also, can I just say that on corn, on grilled corn on the cob.
Tajin,
tajin, you say. Yeah. And you can get it in any kind
love
of Latin
it.
Market or many.
Yep.
And you just sprinkle it on with the butter, and it is
heaven.
Just to die for. Yep. And there's no weird stuff in there,
no,
by the way.
No, just those three ingredients.
Okay.
Dehydrated
in Spain, you have so
you'd
much
have to do
choose
churros,
from.
All the sausages on the grill.
Churros is like the long donut
con
with
chocolate.
Dip in it.
Churros con chocolate. That is the best.
Night.
Now we're going right over here to Prasad Chirnumala of India. And
when we go to India, I mean, street food is the best food.
But what the world did you just make for us? That street food was stunning.
Every country has its own name. It's called a chaat. Chaat Bhandar. Chaat means literally lick. It's so good that you want to lick your last bite of your plate. You can have bhel puri. You can have pani puri. Pani puri is like the puff semolina puffs. We can have dahi puri, which is like semolina puff again.
Wait, we have to say what we're talking about because we have
what
them,
the
so
puffs?
We know. So if you go to an Indian restaurant, you can get this thing called puri, and it's this puffed thing that comes to the table, and inside might be shrimp in a sauce.
Yes.
And it's all delicious. So this thing you made was little tiny ones.
Yes. So it's a tiny little crispy semolina puff. And typically on street food of India, it's filled with chickpeas and potatoes. But here I go with the local farmers. I mean, I get corn, I get mushrooms, I get whatever I see. You can put
potatoes,
whatever you like. It's your choice. You take that. But that doesn't end there. It's
like
starts,
a taco party.
Exactly. Yeah. But what makes it happen at Chaat is that you have the tamarind sweets chutney with a little bit of dates and raisins. Then you have mint and cilantro.
Yeah.
Then you have a sweet yogurt. And then you have chopped up.
Wait,
cilantro,
do they
mint.
Do that on the street, or is this a home thing?
It's
on the sauces,
street. So,
right?
I mean, I kind of work around the street food on that, but it's definitely on the street. It's really delicious. And then you make this little spice mix with dry mango powder, cumin, chili powder, and just sprinkle a little bit. And that's the first bite what you get in. It's like, Lord. Oh, my God. And then you want more, and you want more, and then you want more.
And you said in India, somehow they memorize what each person wants, and then somebody else is keeping track of what 40 of these, because they're the size of a half dollar.
Yeah, the mental math is so good with this roadside street vendor food. I mean, the guy is selling, to hundreds of people. There's no computers. There's no point of sales, anything like that.
No credit cards.
Not even a pencil and a paper. Here is Faith. Here is Chris. Here is Alex, Mark. Yep. Everybody's standing in line. You at 10. You at 15, 18. Robin is having 20.
Had a girl.
That's really
why we love Robin.
And the guy is so fast making these little puris for you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, by the time you count five, you got a second bite, third bite. And
somehow they make them so that when you're finished with your bite, they're ready with the next bite. I love that.
They're ready. And then even the liquids, what to come on your plate after you eat the puri itself, you'll lick and finish it up. Because
it's called chaat,
yeah.
Oh, and people make these in their homes, too?
They do, but it's not as much as fun being on the street and eating. Mm-hmm. Somebody's doing the work for you. It's a lot of work. I mean, if you really look at it, you saw the table, how many things we had on that.
Do you do serve this at the restaurant, or is it
I do.
This is what
you
I'm going to do?
I do.
The next time I have people over, I'm just going to say I need enough for 10. I'm going to call up India, and you get all the sauces.
Yeah. And you put them together.
And let the people put them together as they come in. I'll show them how to do one.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be, it's the best way to start a party.
I'll just charge you a consulting fee.
There you go.
Okay.
I got the
Oh my goodness. Wow. Or do people, and when you serve it, are you serving them little bowls of the condiments and they make it themselves, or do you stuff the little puri?
I stuff the puris in the restaurant.
Good, it's very easy.
Because you made mine
and I was just dying over the condiments.
Eat the whole bite.
But if you saw that, it's a one biter. You can't do two bites unless you want to go to dry cleaners.
Yeah.
And we asked Prasad to make it both gluten free and because this is semolina wheat. If you have gluten issues, no. And he made it a little cardboard boat.
Oh, yeah.
Did the whole thing.
Yes.
And so all you're missing is that little wheat skin.
Yes.
And there you go. But so there's no reason.
You have the crunch from those. What were those? Chickpea noodles, right?
Yes.
You have a little crunch from that chickpea noodle.
So I'm surprised the puff couldn't be made with chickpea as well. Make it gluten-free.
I think you can. You just have to experiment.
Because the crunch is the fun part.
Can you experiment for our gluten-free people?
We actually do gluten-free bread, rotis. So it's chickpea.
You do?
Chickpea flour.
No, I'm not doing right now, but I can.
You can.
If you're gluten-free, anybody, I mean, Indian food is probably 95% gluten-free and vegetarian. I mean, it's a paradise. So.
Yeah. If you know a vegetarian, it's definitely where to go. Yeah.
With the small plates at India, you're doing really a kind of divine version of street food, right?
Oh, my God. I take this baby kale and make it like what you had this morning, like the chaat. People are going like its kale is going out of business. I mean, they're eating every single day.
But you just roll it in the kale? Or?
No, I just do a flash fry of that with the chickpea flour.
Okay. So it's crispy.
So it's again, gluten-free.
Yeah.
It's crispy, and then you add this raw onions, tomatoes, and dressed with
chutney.
I had
it, and then you eat it.
We eat at the bar. The people next to us were ordering it, and I said, I don't really eat kale. And they said, you have to try it. And then it comes over. It was so crispy, incredible. Yeah. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, can I find out, are you serving your okra?
Oh, yeah, the golden okra.
Now, I am not someone who's a big fan of okra. I would probably say, no, thank you. You know, that slippery version.
The texture.
Prasad
fries so good.
It. And out comes something with,
heaven.
I don't know what in the world is in there, but it is like, crack.
We had that too. That
was good. Exactly. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Well, we tried it. I mean, we've changed a lot of people who don't like cauliflower, don't like okra, don't like kale. I mean, they come back for that now.
Yeah.
Is it the spices or method of cooking?
I think a combination. I mean, method of cooking is one, but I think the spices.
Because you're frying?
Things
get so good.
We could be right? Could be doing something else. But I think it's end of the day, it's the spice, I think, and the style of cooking.
I always tell people, too, when I bring them there, to bring home sauces. Yeah. And take home sauces. And they're great for when you're grilling in the summer, to have one of those two to just put on your grilled chicken or grilled fish.
Because this is a higher level of Indian cooking than many people might be used to. Certainly in India, you might find something like this. Yeah. But people associate who don't like Indian food say, oh, no, it's too hot.
No.
You know, or, oh, no. That's not what's going on here. Certainly you could ask the kitchen to do something hot and it would blow your brains out.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Because I'm sensitive too, but it just has the hum. It doesn't hurt your mouth. It
just adds
depth and
it's a good word. Okay. because we're in the season of berries right now, I wanted to give a tip about how to do a fast whipped cream. And I want to know from Chris if he ever does this. Do you ever use, a lot of people have bought those immersion blenders to do soups and whip them up fast or to do, make something.
Gazpacho.
Margaritas.
Gazpacho. <Yeah. laughs>
Oh, you know, we should do a little thing on that.
Yeah.
So whipped cream you can do in seconds.
Yep.
Suddenly minutes seem so long, don't
I
they,
know,
when,
right?
with a beater. If you put that immersion blender into heavy cream, boom, whipped cream in seconds. It's a really fast way to do it. A little sugar, a little vanilla, as I like it.
Yeah. You know what else I use? I have the little frother for my cappuccino. Yeah. If you're only making like a cup of whipped cream, that works too. That little, you know, that little guy. Yeah,
oh,
it's the same thing. It's just a little version of that, and it's got a little agitator on the bottom, and it spins.
I use that thing from
Isn't
IKEA.
Yeah.
99. Uh-huh. What is it, like $1.29?
Yeah, a couple bucks. Yeah,
we use it in our coffee every morning.
I use it in my tea every morning. I put in
froth it up.
Cinnamon. Clove and turmeric.
And you give it a little zip with
in
that.
In my chai tea. Yeah.
Nice.
It's just bagged chai tea. It's not the real thing.
Then add some local honey.
Yeah, there you go.
I know. I'm trying to stay away from
immunity.
The sugar.
Yeah, good.
I'm sugar. Am I ringing your bell? Are you a chai guy?
Chai, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, every day, one cup in the morning.
With lots of milk?
Milk, a little bit of cardamom, turmeric, honey.
I like it. So no coffee?
I have coffee in the evening. So
at night?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he's
got
to
work late.
No.
Okay. I have to get a condo
more
this
in the
guy
evening.
Now.
More in the evening.
I'm going to have more condos than anyone on earth. Oh, I was roaming around the east end of Long Island. So that's the North Fork and the South Fork of Long Island. The South Fork, the Hamptons, you know, the glitterati, I say. But really, it's not
houses.
Just, it's really not just that. It's so beautiful. It
and
really
real people
is.
Too, right?
Yes, absolutely. And then on the North Fork are all the vineyards and farms on the water, and it's gorgeous. Just a kind of slower pace out there. So I was on the other side, the South Fork, with Hamptons and stuff. I picked up my friend Emily Cobb, who is one of my eating buddies out there, and her service dog, Bon Bon. I'm his godmother. And off we went. We went to a restaurant in downtown East Hampton, which is one of the most beautiful main streets in America.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And we went to a restaurant there called Chita Nuova, New City. Chita Nuova. So it's kind of a modernized Italian. And I had some of the best linguine and clams, little manila clams with a shaved garlic, lots of gorgeous olive oil.
The broth,
oh my
garlic.
Goodness. Emily had this burrata, which is buffalo mozzarella, which is in season right now from Italy, made from buffalo milk, with heirloom tomatoes, arugula, and sliced avocado.
Oh, it's that time of
Bon
year.
Bon the dog, we put butter and bread, ripped it into pieces, and fed it to Bon Bon.
Oh,
it was just great. Prasad Chirnumala.
Yes.
Thank you, Chef, coming on the show, from West Hartford and Fairfield County. your restaurants.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Coming on the show. Thank you for cooking for us and
Brianna,
giving us
such
a
good
sample.
Such
anytime.
Really, such a pleasure. Mark, thank you for that incredible wine at $10.99 on the show. If you're just joining us, please listen to this show. And Chris for making Rashmi Talpedes, amazing garlic crab. Go to our website and type in garlic crab on search, and you will see something that even restaurants in India do not have. Okay, so you've got to try it. Alex, thank you as always. Robin, thank you. I love these people to death, as you can see. As you can hear. We're on WNPR Thursdays at 3 and Saturdays at noon. Weekdays, listen for my 60-second food schmoozes. Our slogan, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
de Mars.
Thanks for listening to the podcast on your schedule. And when you need a little party in your life, we're here and online all the time at foodschmooze.org. And of course, also on Facebook at Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. See you there.